Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Gentlemen, just a quick reminder that all the material here is pulled from the Personal Image System. The Personal Image System is my master level course. I offer it a few times a year. This system is built off of decades of research and development. I also pull in my experience having helped thousands of men dress better as a custom clothier. I also pull in my science background, so we've got this whole science of style section. Gentlemen, the Personal Image System is action oriented. It's got an amazing community. It has live training, 100 plus lessons with resource materials, body language, etiquette, manners, buy list. It has video, audio, guys, scripts out there that you can follow as to how to up your style. I make it simple. Go check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. To learn more about the Personal Image System, simply type it into Google, it'll pop up, or go over to realmenrealstyle.com and I'll have a banner right there for you where you can just click and learn more about the Personal Image System. Gentlemen, today I've got something a little special for you. I did an interview with Colonel Littleton over at ColonelLittleton.com, and they make some of the most amazing leather luggage I've ever had the privilege to have in my office. I've reviewed, I've been using their stuff. And this was a fun interview for me because if you're not familiar with the bags, and I'm going to link over in the show notes, you can go over to realmenrealstyle.com/episode27, where I'll link over to the company, have lots of pictures of their luggage. But I can tell you guys, when I use this luggage, when I fly from Appleton over to Atlanta, which seems to happen, you know, every other month, I've got business partners out there, but people always ask me about these bags. And it's amazing, from the hardware to the leather work. One of their saddle bags, it literally is built off of an 1850 American cavalry design. Just beautiful stuff. And so in this episode, I really wanted to go into more of what's the story behind, you know, why do they spend so much time building these works of art? And hopefully it gets you interested in the company, which I think, again, I fully support. Made in the USA over, where are they at? Linville, Tennessee, population 327. So me being in a small town and running a business that reaches the world, I felt definitely a bit of connection to the Colonel and what they're doing over there. But I think at the end, what I wanted to do here is to get you inspired to consider leveling up your wardrobe with pieces that are heirloom pieces that literally you can pass on to others, or people will want to come grab at your estate sale. But when you carry them, you feel great about it. You feel like you've got a piece of history, you've got a good story, and that is it is worth, actually, I think, investing in pieces that are going to last you a lifetime and just going to be something you're proud to own and proud to carry and are functional. That's key as well. All right, guys, without further ado, here's the interview.
You know, we kind of got a little bit of everything, I guess. So we just kind of, you know, we just kind of put out there what we think people would like and what we like to make. So I guess that's where it comes from.
Well, can you talk? You talk a little bit about why you do all this. It sounds like, I mean, you've got to have what's the theme that brings all of Colonel Littleton's products together?
Well, I don't know if I think about it like that, but I've always had a feel for things that were nostalgia, I guess, or things that were kind of an older piece of something. And when I started making leather goods, I thought, well, you know, I'd like to make something that is certainly going to be around for a while. That was important to me. And that maybe someday, years from now, somebody would pick it up in an antique store and think, boy, that's a cool bag, and I'd like to have that. And also, I think most of the things we make could have been made in 1900. I don't know of anything we make that couldn't have been made at that time. And in these old buildings we own here in Linville, they're all from around 1870. So they could have made all that stuff in these buildings, you know, in 1870. And I generally think about styles of things that kind of have an Americana feel to it. Something I think maybe somebody would have gotten on a train in, you know, 1890 and traveled to out to Dallas from Chicago or something. You know, what would they have been carrying as a bag? And then try to make it kind of fit today's lifestyle, so somebody could, so it fits a laptop or the kind of clothes you travel with today or whatever. And so that's always been, I just didn't want it to look real contemporary looking. I wanted it to look like it had been around a while and that it had a little time and rank, you know, that it had been out there a while. That's kind of always what I thought about.
Now, can you talk about some of the design inspirations? Because I spent some time in the Marine Corps, and I really appreciated it seemed like you paid attention to history in detail in talking about, you know, this is I think it was the saddlebag, talking about how this is something in this time period you would have seen an actually U.S. Cavalry soldier. Actually, he was a messenger using this particular, maybe, you know, you maybe took a few liberties with the design here or there to make it more modern. But in general, somebody may see that and think, is that actually an authentic bag from that time period?
Well, that bag came from, of course, I've always had an appreciation of, you know, the West and horses and all that kind of stuff. And I always thought the military always had a bunch of cool stuff somewhere along the way because, I don't know. It's just a certain look about military pieces, especially things when you go back, you know, World War II and on back to the, you know, the Indian Wars and the Civil War and whatever. Everything kind of had a certain look about it. But that saddlebag briefcase, I have a McClellan cavalry saddle that's been in my office for years, and there's a set of saddlebags on it. And I kept looking at that set of saddlebags and at the time, I don't think we had a briefcase then in the line. And I thought, boy, that'd be a cool-looking briefcase. And then I kind of talked myself out of it, and I talked myself into it. And so I finally took the design from that saddlebag and made a briefcase prototype out of it. And I was doing business at the time, and still do, but I was going out to see the Robert Redford folks because we do their stuff in their catalog. And I was taking this briefcase with me just to see how I liked it. And when I got on the plane in Nashville, the stewardesses said, "Wow, where'd you get that bag?" You know, and I said, "Well, blah blah." And of course, it was people getting on. They said, "We'll come back and look when we get in the air." So they came back and just talked about it and couldn't get over it and everything. So on the way, I thought, well, that must be pretty good. I mean, how many bags do they see in a week, you know? And then on the way back, as I landed in Nashville, and I was in the back of the plane, and, you know, we landed, and I was standing up. There was a guy behind me, tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, dude, where'd you get that old bag, you know?" And so from that, I thought, well, maybe this bag will work. And so I modified it a little bit, and that's where it came to be. But it could have very easily been made in 1865, just as easy as we make it today. So we don't do anything to it that they wouldn't have done at the same time. I mean, even the hardware on it is off of a McClellan saddle. So anyway, but it seems, but most people don't know that. They just kind of like the way it looks.
So can you talk about the hardware and your choices there? A lot of companies, it seems, skimp on the hardware, but the hardware in many of your pieces is what sets them apart from any other leather luggage. Besides, you know, the designs, I mean, like I said, with the number three grip, that right there is that brass and that copper is instantly what grabbed people's attention.
Well, if you're kind of doing your design work and kind of having it reflect something that's got an historical significance to it, or maybe you're kind of borrowing from something that was done, you know, 100 years ago, then the hardware is part of it. And so our hardware is all relatively simple. It's, of course, it's solid brass. We don't necessarily coat it in lacquer. I like for it to get a patina to it. And so we use a lot of hardware that's I guess, comes out of the equestrian industry. And also, we make some of our own, and we and design some of our own. But I think, as you'll notice, on a lot of our things, we have a lift-a-dot snap. And that's just an old military snap that was on all the cartridge pouches. It was on a 1911 holster, you know, where they, where they attach the flap and everything. And I don't think anybody uses that, maybe but us. At least I don't see it anywhere. And when you talk about a rugged snap and one that won't come loose, that's it. And I just designed a bag. I've been working on one the last month, and I'm using that same closure on it. So the military had a lot of cool stuff. I mean, it was functional. It wasn't made for style and design. It was made to function. And whether it be the American, you know, military, or whether it was the Swiss Army, or whether it was Germany, or, you know, wherever, military stuff just has a certain look and feel about it. And it was made to stand up and get the job done. And so I guess that always influences me somewhat.
So where do you go for this inspiration? Was it something that at an early point in your life you were surrounded by it, or have you actually traveled quite a bit and actively sought out this inspiration?
That's a serious question there, Antonio. I don't know. I just, I've always kind of been a collector of stuff. I mean, I guess if you ever came down here, you would see that I got a lot of stuff. But I've always collected pieces that, especially old military things. I just always was drawn to the look. And so I got tons of stuff and just all kinds of pieces like that. And as I'm working on a design of some kind, maybe I reflect back on a piece that I saw on a on some kind of a backpack or some kind of a, you know, cartridge belt or I don't know, who knows what. Well, as an example, the belt that we do with the belt hook on it is just simply a Springfield Army rifle sling. It was the old adjustable sling is all it was. And I just took it and used that design to make it into an adjustable belt. And it's pure and simple where it came from. And I think they even used it up on the I don't know how late they used it, but they used it, you know, quite a while up into the modern times. And I secured a patent on that design, and, you know, we had the patent on it for years and years. And so that was right out of the military handbook there.
I think that was one of the hardest things of going through and working with your company, sir, is you had so many great products that I wanted to talk about. I didn't actually get to talk too much about the belt and the hook design and some of those things that you guys have. But what I loved is actually in the bags that you sent me, the actual, the shoulder strap used that hook design as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of got one right in there, and I loved it how you brought this in there.
Well, we just kind of, that sort of fell into the whole deal, I guess. After the belt, then that hook apparatus just kind of fell in with the shoulder strap and, you know, on certain bags. And I have to watch myself. If I don't, I'll put that strap on a lady's handbag, and it doesn't work on a lady's handbag. But it took me a while to figure that out. But anyway, today I don't do it on lady's handbags. But, yeah, it's just a unique design. It was just something that just worked for what we do, and it kind of fit the look. And I don't know. I mean, it just – I think people see the bags and the leather and the hardware and the design, and it usually it just gets better the longer you've had it. I mean, the more you wear it, the more you haul it around, the bag just gets better. And – it's kind of one of those things where when somebody sends a bag back to us, if we have to make a repair on it, well, they don't ever want a new one. They want the old one fixed and done whatever we can do to it. And so I think that speaks for how the bag ages or the product ages, whatever it happens to be, and it just develops that character. And I truly believe that our pieces will someday be in the hands of somebody's children or grandchildren. I don't think they'll find their way to a yard sale someday.
So you've been in business for long enough that you've probably got clients and customers that have been coming back to you for years. They've brought their kids, they've introduced their children to your company and your guys' products. Do you have any great stories of, because I see that people are coming out and visiting you guys down there in Linville. I mean, do you have any great like stories from your customers?
Well, I guess every customer has a story, and then we get a lot of visitors here. And of course, when I travel, you know, I run into customers all the time and see them. And I don't know. Just to be with the product, we had a customer who was from Germany, and he had been over here in the States a long time. I'm not sure he'd ever met all of his relatives. And so he had made arrangements to go back to Germany. He wanted to meet with one of his cousins who was still living. And they had never met. So anyway, he traveled to Germany to meet his cousin. And when he met him at his house, they were both wearing a Colonel Littleton belt. So I thought that was kind of strange. And so he said, I knew we were kindred spirits at that point, you know. And,
yeah, they both had good taste.
They had good taste. They were wearing the, how strange is that? They were wearing the same belt. I don't know. We had a guy down in Atlanta one time who had one of our portfolios, and he was getting in his car to go, and it was that typical story, laid on top of the car, you know, and left with it on top of the car. And as he was on the freeway in Atlanta, he happened to look and see it blow off the top of his car into the middle of the interstate. So he pulled over and backed up or whatever and kept waiting to dart out into traffic to recover his portfolio. And I don't know how many cars and trucks ran over it, and he finally got it and got it back. And he was just amazed that it wasn't all tore up. So he even sent us a picture of it and all that. So maybe that kind of stands the test a little bit of the quality.
So, I think it also stands that, hey, he's willing to put his life on the line to get back his portfolio.
In Atlanta, the traffic, he sure was. So, but we get all kind of stories of people that, you know, that travel all over the world, and they've gone to Africa, they've gone up the Amazon with products, they've, you know, it's everywhere. So it's pretty amazing, and people, you know, will be traveling, and they'll have one of our journals that they record their, you know, their travels in. I've had military guys from Iraq send me pictures of them, you know, writing in their portfolio or something. I've had military folks who liked it so well, they've sent me flags that flew over the base where they were, you know, and just have a real connection with our product. And but I think, you know, Antonio, I think they also like the idea that, you know, we're a small town company. It's American made. We don't get any check from the government. We don't get any subsidy. We don't get anything. We come to work early, we stay late, we work hard, we try to do more than we get paid for. We try to treat everybody else like we'd like to be treated, and that's pretty much the way it is. And I think we're an American success story. I think to start out with nothing, I didn't have anything to start with, and so I didn't inherit a lot of money. And we just started and kept on going and making it, and in a small town. And I think people like to believe that somewhere, small town America, maybe still the way it used to be, and some old boy sitting up in a skyscraper in New York with one of our bags or something, maybe he feels like he's connected a little bit to, you know, down in the real world where a handshake means something and your word means something, and he's got a serious piece of product, and it ain't a foo-foo product, and it's going to last him, and he knows there's an old boy named Colonel Littleton down there that's going to stand behind it, and we do.
Yeah, I'm just imagining this right here in my mind, but I see that guy in New York just wishing that he could get another moon pie. I did appreciate that you sent with the bag. So,
I know we do have customers who write us and think they're a two moon pie account. So I mean that they've graduated beyond to get two moon pies. So, but anyway, that's you know, I just think I think, Antonio, you can talk about yourself all the time, however you want to, but, you know, talk is cheap. You got to deliver something along the way. And I just think people like to call where they don't get put on hold. Is somebody going to take care of the problem? If they need help, they're going to get help. They don't feel like they're creating a problem with somebody. They don't feel like they're intruding on you. And we do that. I mean, we sincerely take care of our customers, and we simply have our role with this company is that covers everything. Is that do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's
yep.
it.
The golden rule. Yep.
Golden rule. Works every time. I've got a sign out in the workshop that I wrote on the bulletin board out there. It says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And then under it, it says, list all exceptions below. And I don't have any exceptions yet. So it works every time, you know. I had a young lady in the warehouse one time. She was picking a pocket wallet for some customer, and I was back over there in the corner doing something. And she said, hey, Colonel, you think we ought to send this one out here, you know? And I said, I don't know. What's the matter with it? She said, well, it's got this place on here, you know? And I said, well, if you were getting one for your daddy for Father's Day, would you get him that one? She said, well, I'd probably get another one. And I said, well, put them in a box. We'll make something else out of it. And she said, well, don't you want to look at it? And I said, no, I don't want to look at it. If you wouldn't pick it, then why would we think somebody else would want it? And so, you know, that works every time. You don't have to have a bunch of rules. You don't have to have a bunch of guidelines. That works every time. I mean, it's just like here. We try to have on the phone, if you call in, a 20-second hold period. If you hold it more than 20 seconds, somebody's supposed to come back on the line and see if they can take your name and number or do whatever, because who wants to sit around on the phone holding, waiting on somebody all the time? And just whatever it is, just try to take care of people. Treat them like you like to be treated, and you very rarely get taken advantage of. We had a guy one time, I'll have to tell you, it's the same type of deal happened, and it's been several years ago, and a fella sent a knife back to us, and he had the tip broke out of it. And he was an attorney, and he had written it on his company stationery and said that he broke the tip out of that knife opening the letters. Well, you know, we're down here in the country, and we got a lot of country folks that work here, so they know what a pocket knife is, and they towed a pocket knife. And this lady there in the department was checking it in, and she called me back there and said, Colonel, now we're not going to give this guy a new knife, are we? And I said, why is that? She said, well, you know he broke off the tip using it for a screwdriver or prizing a drawer to open or something. And I said, yeah, he probably did. And I said, we're going to give him a new one. And we're going to write him a handwritten note, like we always do, apologize for his problem. He's going to get a grave luggage tag for his trouble. He's going to get a moon pie and all that. Not a form letter. He gets a handwritten note that we apologize for his problem and everything. And she said, well, why are we going to do that? I said, well, because that's what we do. And I said, well, the other reason is I'm not going to bed tonight and worry about some dude trying to beat me out of a $100 pocket knife just because he thinks he can and let it mess up my peace of mind where I lay awake all night just thinking. I said, I hope he calls tomorrow because I'm going to give him another piece of my mind, you know. I said, it ain't worth it. And if it's worth it to him, that's fine. And I said, I tell you what. We're going to do the second knife the same way. If he sends it back again, we'll give him another one and all the same stuff that goes with it. That's how the third time, we're probably going to say, you know, you might be happier somewhere else. Let me see if I can't give you somewhere else that you might want to do business, you know. And so, you know, that's kind of the way we look at it. And, you know, I don't want somebody messing up my peace of mind because they're trying to, you know, put something over on me. We just try to treat them right, and, you know, do like the good book says, you know, just kind of treat everybody like you like to be treated, and that's about it. Not hard to do. You know, I look at the government stuff. I'm not going to get on politics with you, but, you know, if everybody treats everybody else like they like to be treated, you know, all the loggers would be out of business, and the police wouldn't have a job, and politicians they wouldn't have a job either. I mean, you know, and so that's just the way the world ought to work. But sadly, it doesn't work that way.
Now, it sounds like that you guys, I'm wondering, did that guy come back with the third time, or did he?
No. He just won. Just one time.
Just the one.
I had a guy come in here one time. See, we just, I don't know. You just have to, you have to stand for something. I mean, you know, Antonio, you got to stand for what you believe in. I had a guy come in here one time, and he was traveling, driving a big fancy car and a big fancy suit. And he was about in his 50s and had him a young honey on his arm and, you know, looking good and everything. And he kind of, man, you know, he kind of running roughshod over one of the girls running the store. And then he called back the next day and just lit in on her about something. I don't know what it was, something he didn't like or some kind of a deal and cussing and raving and carrying on. Well, I called him back. And I could have called him back, give him a piece of my mind, which I wanted to do. But I called him back, and I said, listen, I said, you know, down here, we don't talk like that. We don't act like that. And I especially, you know, I wouldn't talk to a lady in the store like you talk to this young lady. And I said, I just want to tell you I don't appreciate it, and I don't think your business is that important to me if that's the way you're going to act. And he gave me a little lip and everything, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I just want you to know that that's the way I feel about it. And, you know, I just don't think you'd like somebody to treat your daughter that way. And but anyway, so I hung up. And I think it was the next day I got a call from him, and he apologized and everything in the world and apologized to that young lady and everybody. You know, he just said I was wrong, I shouldn't have done it. But if I'd have jumped on him like he was jumping on them, I'm sure we'd have had a confrontation. And so anyway, you know, it just kind of pays to treat people right and, you know, stand up for something and don't let people run over you, though, you know. And so that's kind of the way we look at it. And we don't sell anything we wouldn't buy ourselves. We don't sell seconds. I don't have a second store. I don't have a store where we get rid of stuff. I don't want anybody to have a second. I don't mean it ain't not that important to me. The money's not. We don't sell seconds. And so I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, this is that, but it's got a bad stitch or whatever on it. And so, you know, that's kind of where we stand on it. And I tell everybody that works here, I say, who wants to go out somewhere and somebody say, well, what do you do? And you say, oh, I work for Colonel Littleton. We make the third best leather goods in the country. I said, I don't want to go say that. Do you? I said, I don't want to go out with that kind of a deal. I said, I want to say we make the best. And so anyway, and also I tell all my people, and I think all this reflects, Antonio, I tell everybody, I say, listen, always try to do more than you get paid for. You know, I say you'll always be ahead because so few people do what they get paid for, that if you do more than you get paid for, you'll stand way out above the crowd. And so, you know, it ain't that hard. You don't have to have 3 degrees from Harvard, and you don't have to have a PhD and all that to run a successful business. You just got to make a good product, take care of people, stand behind it, and do what you say you're going to do, and treat people right. That's about it.
So I've got some questions going back to business. And I'm just curious about like the growth because you've been around almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And I take it you got any plans for this 30th birthday coming up?
I don't know. We don't celebrate much stuff. I don't reckon. You know, I try to celebrate my wife's anniversary every year. That's about all the celebrating we do.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you could share with me, you know, over those 30 years, probably. You know, not all of them were equal in terms of, you know, the growth and the various products that you guys have offered. Has it been something that you've seen the just number of products and the number of different designs? Have they really, have most of them come out in the last 10 years or 15 years? Or did you always have this many offerings? Because I know that you're designing all these and I see the shave kit. I see the, mm-hmm. you know, with the attaché. I see the satchel. I just see all these various products. I'm wondering, how did they, is it just been something that you get a request from a customer and you end up developing a bag like that? Or is it every year you're trying to put out like a bag, like the 1943 Navigator briefcase, which is beautiful, by the way. And so I'm just wondering, like, is it every year you're trying to put out a few more products or do you, how has that kind of evolved?
It just evolved. I don't really, I guess much to the aggravation of a lot of people here in the marketing department and the sales department. I don't just sit down and say, we're going to do 2 new business bags, one ladies handbag and et cetera, for next season. Probably this season, maybe one of the first seasons that we don't have a lot of new stuff in the catalog. I mean, you know, we're going to, there'll probably be a lot of stuff online, but I just couldn't meet the deadline. You know, I just didn't have the stuff put together. I don't just sit down every day and, you know, it's kind of like writing a hit song, I guess. You don't just sit down and say, I'm going to write a hit song today. I just, it just happens. It just comes to my mind. I see something, I get things about it and start working on it. And, you know, one day it comes together, but I don't have a, you know, I don't plan to, you know, to do this and that and, you know, bring so much stuff to the market and everything. I just, I think we got a good offering of things. We've got plenty of merchandise. And so I try to come up with ideas, something that's kind of unique and something different and something I think, I just try to do what I think I would like. And then I hope I'm tuned in enough with enough other people that they kind of have the same feeling and everything.
Can you talk about some of your hits? Kind of like I like the hit song analogy that you put something out there and you didn't expect it to be a hit, and that thing just flew off the shelf. And to this day, you're trying to keep up with demand.
Yeah, well, our belt was kind of that way. One of the things was the cinch belt that we do, which has that unusual buckle apparatus in the front of it where it cams over the tongue. And I made one of those kind of a sample, handmade, and just sit around my office for a couple of years. And every time I ask somebody about it, they say, oh, that ain't going to do. That ain't going to do, you know. So I never did do it. And finally, one day, I'd messed with it enough, and I said, I'm going to put it in the line if I don't sell for two. I'll buy one. Somebody else will buy one. Maybe that's all we'll do. And that's become our number one selling belt. I mean, it is by far. I mean, exceeds anything else in our belt line. And women buy it, and men buy it. It's just one of those things that, you know, you didn't know, but it certainly was a winner. Our portfolio is a winner. And it's not that strange of a design or not that unusual. It's just kind of one of those things that the more you use it, the better it looks and the better it feels. And it's pretty simple and kind of feels the need. And and that's just, you know, we're just a huge volume of business for us. You know, the saddlebag briefcase is one of those deals that was just a, you know, was a hit. Number 43 Navigator bag, you know, that's been a serious product. Of course, the number 3 grip. I never had a clue that we'd sell that like we do. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things. So I don't know. You know, it's, I guess you can look around and maybe check some numbers, but those are the things that kind of come to mind when I'm thinking about it. And, you know, that are, I guess something else that's unusual. We sell a lot of fly swatters, strangely enough. And as a matter of fact, I think I've got a fly swatter, and the last 4 presidents have had one of our Colonel Wilton fly swatters in the Oval Office. So I guess that means you got flies everywhere, I guess. So I don't know.
I did see the fly swatter.
That's
pretty amazing.
And we sell a bunch of them in alligator, believe it or not. I mean, you know, $160, $70. I don't know how much they are. A lot of money. And, so, you know, and also remember this too, Antonio, I tell everybody, I say, listen, I don't have anything you need. I'm in the wanting business. All I got is wants. Nobody needs a $1,000 bag, get on an airplane, get to New York with all your clothes. I mean, you don't have to have it. And nobody needs a $300 shaving kit, and nobody, you don't need anything we got. I'm in the wanting business. I just got wants. And so when you're selling wants, you know, you've got to do something kind of unusual, a little different, and something that attracts somebody's kind of they're attracted to it, and they want to buy it. So, you know, that's kind of what it is.
I know. I'm looking at your number 24 apron. That thing, that is a manly apron. And then you got this the number 1 back scratcher.
Yeah. See, that's those hooks again. See. That's that belt hook. And
reusing the same products right there. That,
I just bent it up and made a back scratcher out of it. So I don't know, you know. Hopefully I don't have too many bad ideas. Hopefully I have more good ideas than bad ideas, see? So, but anyway, that's, you know, we're just not, I don't know. I mean, we're just not that scientific. We're not, I mean, you know, we're not, we don't have any PhDs down here or anything. We do it all ourselves, Antonio, right here in Linville, Tennessee, population 327. We market it, we design it, we make it. We do our own catalog. We do our own photography. We do our own copy. We deal with Fortune 500 companies all over the nation doing corporate gifts. Anything that gets done in our company, we do it. We do our internet marketing. We do our website. We do, you name it. It's all done in-house. I mean, we don't have, and we do some of the internet marketing we do with a firm outside of here because of the, you know, the technicality of it and just the, you know, just being able to do it. But you know, we generally draw all up and, you know, do all the copy. They just do the, you know, the behind the scenes work for us. So I think it's pretty unique that we can do all that right here. And we have to because of necessity. We can't run outside and get us a graphic artist or hire us a copywriter or hire a photographer or somebody to do videos. There's nobody here. So we just, I've always felt like that we could do whatever we wanted to do. And all we got to do is just decide we're going to do it. And that's how we come up with it. We do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to hear, you know, a little bit more about your team. I mean, it sounds like that you've really built up a great crew there. And I know you've got the physical store there in Linville. I take it you've got people just manning the store, but also in the back. You guys have, with the people that help you make the bags, is that there in Tennessee as well?
Oh, yeah. It's all right here in little town. There's little towns about 327 people. It's a bunch of stores lined up by a railroad track, like in an old Western movie. And we own about 7 of the 11, I think. And our manufacturing facility, you know, is here. It's out on the farm. It was on the farm. We moved it on down the road a little bit about a couple months ago, and we needed a little more room. And but everybody's you know, I mean, everybody came here. We all learned how to do it. We just said, you know, I just always feel like that there's nothing we can't do. I mean, all you got to do is put your mind to it. We had our products made by other companies around the country, and one day I just wasn't quite that pleased with it, and I told one of the guys here, I said, we're going to make our own stuff. And he said, I don't know how to make leather goods. I said, well, I don't either, but I know what we like, and I know what I like. And everybody kind of laughed at us and said we couldn't do it, but we certainly did, and we just taught ourselves. And, you know, see, I just believe this country needs more people that can decide they can get something done, and they do it. And don't sit around and depend on somebody else, and don't take responsibility for what you do. And, you know, I mean, can't, never could do anything. I mean, you don't have to read some philosophical degree from some PhD person to, you know, figure out how to work hard and make it work. And, you know, that's just pure old American ingenuity as far as I'm concerned. It's just the American way. It's the way this country was built. You know, people did it, and they took responsibility for it. And if it wasn't good, they redid it and made it right. And that's the way we do it. And we got great people. You know, we got probably the greatest people, I think, any company in the country. And they're all professional. They all do 3 or 4 different jobs. You know, we don't have a bunch of belly aching, a bunch of people that don't show up for work, and they don't leave early, and they don't complain. I mean, I tell people before they come to work here, Antonio, I say, if you want to come here and talk ugly and tell dirty jokes, be a pain in the butt and do it your way instead of our way, that's great, and I love you for it. But you just can't do it here. I said, I'll find you a job. I'll help you find a job where you can do it that way. But you ain't going to do it here if you work for us. And so that's just the way it is. But we respect everybody here, too. I mean, everybody's important. I mean, so I'm as concerned about the tape that goes on the package that goes out the door as I am about the stitching that goes in the bag. So I don't want anything that's not me. I want the box. That box, when it goes out of here, Antonio, that's us being a visitor in somebody's house. I may never get to come to your house, but I'm going to send you a package of Colonel Littleton merchandise, and I'm going to be sitting on the kitchen table, and there I am representing, you know, there I am sitting on your table, and I want that box to be printed right. I want the tape straight. I want the label straight. I want you to open it up, and its wrapping's just right. I want everything to be just right, and I'm going to give you a moon pie, too, because I know if I came to visit, will you? You probably give me something to drink or a little snack or something. So I'm going to give you a little moon pie there. And that's just the way we do it. I don't know. It's not that hard. You just, you just do it.
Well, one thing I really did love is that you've got a catalog that I know if they're in the United States and they go to your website, they enter their name, address, you will right. send out that catalog. And, that's something which I definitely will be pointing my audience back over there. I think for... You know, if nothing else, it's an inspiring, read to get through that. And I love the ideas of my guys having that on their, somewhere in their house so that they get hungry to own one of your amazing products. Well, Colonel Littleton, thank you very much for your time. And I've got a lot to go with here. And, is there anything else you wanted to add, sir?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I looked at your website and I looked at some of your stuff, and you are right on the money when you talk about dressing for success, when you talk about people, what they should wear, what they should look like, how they should present themselves, style-wise, and all of those things. I was thoroughly impressed with your knowledge, with your understanding, and what a well-dressed man ought to look like, how he ought to present himself. And so I want to compliment you on that, because I see in this day and time so few people that really understand that. And I think if they come to your site and they consistently come and read, your articles and your videos and listen to what you say, they are going to be presenting themselves the way they should be presented if they're in today's business world trying to make a living.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And, I try to hit on them. I live in a small town as well, 1,113 in our town, so a little bit bigger. But I always stress, hey, if you're a master, electrician, you need to wear clothing that signals trust.
Yeah.
That protects you. If you've got someone working in your tannery,
right.
they can't show up in flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt, because they're just not going to be able to protect
right.
themselves, and they're not going to be able to perform their job to the level they need to. And that's what I stress. If your job is a lawyer and you're in a construction company, well, you don't dress like a construction worker. You dress
right.
you don't dress as an engineer, you dress as the lawyer. The guy that's keeping
right.
that company out of trouble and is making sure that contracts are good to go, and you just don't betray the expectations of I expect a doctor to dress a certain way, and that's what I stress. And I know if somebody, getting back to the wants at your company, sir, they have one of your bags, and if one thing I like is I tell you, when I received the compliments, they were all positive, and they were all about, like, it led to conversations. Turns out, I think on the flight, the last flight when I had it, one of the guys, he was a pilot. He wasn't the pilot of my plane, but he was just one traveling along, and we had a great conversation. I used to fly T-34s when I was in the Marine Corps, and then all of a sudden I talked to another guy who happened to be another military man, so we had that conversation, and then just another person just had great things to say. And it's funny, the bag is not, it's not me, but it is almost an extension of you. And when your bag gets compliments, you get compliments. And when you get compliments, you feel great. You stand a little bit taller. You walk with a little bit more confidence, knowing that, others appreciate that look. And well, that's something you're definitely giving out to the world.
Well, I truly believe in that idea, and that's one thing that I was impressed with the way you look at it, because I believe that's the way it is. And I used to say, from the time I was, I guess, a young man somewhere, and I say, whether it's right or wrong, people judge you by two things: what you wear and what you drive. And so, and I worked at a service station back in high school, And I always remember if somebody pulled in a brand new Cadillac, they always got a little better service than the old boy pulled in an old beat up pickup truck. I mean, whether it's right or wrong or anything about it, because people don't know anything to judge you by. And I tell people, if somebody pulls up out front here in a new Mercedes automobile, the first thing you think is that guy's going to buy some product, you know, and that doesn't necessarily make it right. But you judge people by what they wear. And if you want to have a first impression, you need to present yourself just like you would advertise your company, you know, and you're advertising yourself is what you're doing. So I believe in that. And hopefully we can help out a little bit with a nice business bag and, you know, and a nice fly swatter, you know.
And the moon pie. Don't forget the moon pie.
And just remember one thing now. Even the fine homes and the fine neighborhoods have flies. So that's where we sell our fly swatters, you know. So anyway.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate
Antonio,
it.
Antonio? Anything we can do, holler at us.
Sounds good, sir. Sounds good.
All right, gentlemen, hopefully you enjoyed the interview. I had a good time talking with the Colonel. If you want to learn more, go over to realmenrealstyle.com/episode 27. And I'm going to have lots of pictures of, you know, everything that of definitely the bags I've used and I own from Colonel Littleton. I'm also going to link over to Colonel Littleton. You can just go to ColonelLittleton.com. Just type it into Google and they'll pop up. So stop over there, say hi. And by the way, remember, if you ever grab a bag from Colonel Littleton, just say that, hey, I was sent over by Antonio at Real Men Real Style, and they will throw in a little like leather wallet or leather card keeper or something. They're basically going to throw some extra bonuses in. Not that they already throw in some extra bonuses like a moon pie and, you know, written letters, really nice letters. And if nothing else, I would say you need to grab their free catalog. I'm going to link to that in the show notes as well. But this catalog is like 50 pages of just great pictures of everything that they've got. And I find that it's almost like a book, and I was reading through it. I love learning about the history and looking at some of the pieces. And yeah, eventually I'm going to get their Navigator bag, which I do not have that one, but I do have, I think I talked about their No. 3 grip. Amazing bag. Well, guys, go over, check out the show notes. As you can tell, I'm excited about this company. And let me know, reach out to me if you like me interviewing people. I've been looking at doing this part of the show more often. I've got some other guests planned over the next few months. And that's it, gentlemen. I'll see you in the next episode. Interested in learning more about how style can increase your earning power, help you command respect, and come off as more attractive? Guys, I've got two options for you. First, check out the Personal Image System. I've got a Science of Style section. It's action-oriented. It's got an amazing community, live training, and 100-plus lessons with resource material. Or check out Real Men Real Style. Guys, I've got a free app over there that has some of the world's best infographics built right into it. It's got 1,000-plus free videos and articles. Also, we've got free ebooks, free courses. I've even got a free consultation system where you can enter a little bit of information about yourself, and we spit out a personalized video for you. Guys, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode.